Our topic today is a very important one, and it's also a very complex one. I'm not trying to present an authoritative view, and certainly not the authoritative view of this topic, but it's one that requires a lot of thought and exploration. So let this be the beginning of that thought experiment. Even in my own mind, a lot of these ideas are a journey. So I hope that you'll join me for the road and we'll see where it goes. But we're tackling a big question today. And that is the role of questions in Judaism. And I'll explain what I mean by that. If someone were to ask you, what does it mean to be Jewish? So how would you answer that question? So does it mean a biological halachic question? Does it mean a question of how do you define Judaism? Or does it mean being Jewish has a distinct feature or features? So how would you put your finger on that? What are distinct features of being Jewish? Gefilte fish, bagels with lox.
Where's the lox?
That's right. So I want to put that out there as a question for the back of our mind. There's also, in this context, a saying people often attribute to the Jewish people, that we are called the people of the book. And I wonder, why is that and what does it mean?
Whole religion is based on the Torah.
Okay.
And it expands from there. So it's of the book.
Okay, it's of the book. Maybe it has to do with the fact that Judaism is insistent upon education, right?
Constant learning,
exactly. So I would argue that that idea that we are referred to as people of the book, and as you're saying,
I think it has more to do with the fact that Jews never stop learning, always
right.
Learn. They're always in the book.
Yes. So I would argue that this issue, the people of the book, has something to do with the first point of being Jewish. There's something Jewish about learning. Right? There's something that when you think about Judaism and the Jewish community and the tradition of Yahadus, it has to do with learning. The people of the book, it's associated, of course, with the book that we hold, but I think you're right that it's about the learning process. It's about education, furthering our education as we go through life. Now, if you were to think about this, there would be a good indicator to this end in the following frame. You want to know what it means to be Jewish? You want to know what it means to capture the essence of being Jewish and this notion of people of the book? I'll give you a very simple litmus test. Let's figure out, is there any time in Judaism where we sit down at a table and focus on delineating aspects of Judaism to the greatest investment which we can make, which are our children, to preserve the future of our community? And what would that be?
Pesach.
There you go, the Seder.
Pesach.
Yeah, the Pesach Seder. Right, if someone were to ask you, when's the best time to learn about Judaism? You know when the best time to learn about Judaism is? The Seder. Because that's when we're going to get to the core ideas of Judaism. So what's interesting, when we look at the Seder, is that the Seder is in a very specific format. The Seder is in a format that includes, although this part is very often overlooked because it's more detailed, a lot of learning. But of course, right, not just specific learning of Aram Eid Ovid Avi, but of course it's about education of the Higadat Alabincha, of telling our children so that they should learn the lessons, right? Isn't that what it's about? Well, not exactly.
Well, it's about the
right? What is it really about?
It's about the children asking for children and the one who doesn't know to ask, the one who asks.
Beautiful.
The one who...
So it's not really about Talmud Torah per se in a narrow sense. It's not just about education. It's a very specific kind of education. It's a Socratic method. It's a way of focusing specifically on questions. And you're pointing out that the questions we usually think have to do with children. That's true. So the Rambam says in source number one here, you have to do things differently. You have to do a shinui. You have to change it up. So the children should see and v'yishalu, and they should ask. And they should say, manishtana, until you answer them. And how do you do it differently? The fourth line, the Rambam says, v'keitzad mishane. How do you change things up? Machalak lem kloyos ve'egozim. You give out candies, which in those days were nuts. I don't want to say today, it's not so PC to give out peanuts at the Seder. It's kitnias, and then you give out almonds. This one's allergic. I have a better eitzah. Give out real candy. They'll like it better. Brush the teeth afterwards. But give out real candy and give out toys. We have at our Seder every year, tchotchkeluch galore. Awesome tchotchkeluch. Everybody loves it. The Rambam says, we should do this so that the children should ask. Great. So you would think it's a great educational tool to have kids learn. Let them ask because something's going to be different. Switch it up. That's why the Rambam says you take away the table. Today, part of the challenge is we educate our kids in school. You know, preschool, they know everything that's going to happen, so they don't ask. We should do the opposite. Today, we should cover the matzahs or uncover them at a different time, and everybody would say, wait, I learned in preschool. You're supposed to. But the point is you got to do different things. Says the Rambam, fourth to last line, Ein lo ben, person is alone without children, just with their wife, Ishto Shoalto. His wife asks him, what does that tell us right away? It's not a din in ketanim and children. What is it?
It's a din in asking.
Yes! It's a din in asking. What happens if a person doesn't have a wife? Shoal and Zezzeh. So two friends making a Seder together, they ask each other. Says the Rambam, Haya Levadon, last line in the bold. Let's say the person was making a Seder alone, which is, Rachman Litzlan, nobody should ever have to make a Seder alone, God forbid. But if a person was in a strange, unusual, dire circumstance, they had to make a Seder alone at a table. Shoal La'atzmo. Manishtano halayla hazeh. He needs to ask himself. They say in the name of the Soloveitchik dynasty, and you can pinpoint which one, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, Rabbi Velvel, that what makes the remembering and the retelling of Yetzias Mitzrayim on the night of the Seder distinct from the rest of the year, what we call the mitzvah of Sipur versus the mitzvah of Zechira. It's not just every night you say in Shema. One of the defining factors is this point, that it must be derech she'ela u'tshuva. It has to be through asking and answering. So now, this tells me something. This tells me that the experience of asking, of she'ela, is really at the heart of what Jewish education and Jewish learning is all about. And then that's what it means to people of the book. That's probably what it means to be Jewish. In a certain respect, it means to ask questions. And the truth is that this is a long-standing tradition. I'll give you an example, which maybe you didn't think about it this way. Maybe you'll agree, maybe you'll disagree. Mishnayos. What are Mishnayos? Mishnayos are the original spark notes for learning, or cliff notes. What happened? Unfortunately, there was so much persecution in the second century in Israel, and then into the third century by the Romans, that there was a fear, Rachmana Litzlan, that the Torah would actually be forgotten. Why? Because the bulk of Torah was transmitted orally. Beyond the Tanakh, everything was taught from Rebbe to Talmud in small circles. There were no handwritten sheets that were given out, summaries. Everything was, some say if you wanted to write something down, you had to write it just for yourself. You couldn't teach from the writing. There was a danger that Torah would be forgotten. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said, you know what, let me do this. I'm going to write a little outline of Torah she'ba'al peh, which is, I'm breaking the law, it's an exigent circumstance. I'm going to write it down, and we're just going to hand it out. Not that that is the extent of learning. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, I got to give you a framework. So I'll tell you, you know, this is like this, and this is like this. Does it explain why? Does it explain how you apply it? Does it explain the parameters of the halacha? No, it doesn't give you any of that. For that, you need the... Right, you need the Talmud for that. You have the Yerushalmi, then you have the Bavli. That's the real Torah Shebaal Peh, getting into the heart of it. So, much of Mishnais, I would have thought, is interesting. It's just a litany of facts, a bullet point. How does Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi open Shisha Sidrei Mishnah with one word? What's that word?
Question.
He opens with a question. From when? Me'emosai. This is an inquiry. He doesn't start by saying, well, who's our first opinion? Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is that Shema must be cited at this time. Like they say, make announcements in the shul. You know, they say, Zman Kriya Shema is at this time according to the Magen Avraham, and Zman Kriya Shema is this time according to the... He doesn't start like that. He says, Me'emosai. Let's open with a question. That's how he opens all of Mishnayos, which he didn't have to do. He could have just set it out. But he begins it with a question because it's an inquiry. That's part of what learning is all about. And you could argue that's the center of all learning. There's a very dramatic, also tragic, story about this idea of questioning. It appears in this Gemara, in Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Dalet. You know, there were very famous pairs, interlocutors, over the course of history. Rav and Shmuel, Abaye and Rava, these are famous Amoraim, sages from the Talmud. They went at it together. They were pairs, so to speak, kind of. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, they were around the same time. They were very often connected with each other. There's a very famous pair, very famous, who lived at the outset, just at the beginning, the cusp of the beginning of the Talmudic period. And their names were Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan was a traditional, you know, study in Talmudic genius and a giant. He was good looking. He was very accomplished. And Reish Lakish was? That's right. He was a bandit.
He was a what?
A bandit.
Oh, that's what I thought you said. But
that is what I said. And the Gemara here tells the story in the back of this Gemara how Reish Lakish met Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan inspired him to come and learn, and he came to learn. And then there was an incident that they had a little bit of a disagreement about something, and they had an exchange of words, which is not for today's topic, what they were exchanging words about and what the undertone of that was. That's not for today. But Rabbi Yochanan somehow, he was offended by the exchange. And the Gemara here says on the top line in the section, in the middle, Cholash Daite de Rabbi Yochanan and Cholash Reish Lakish. Because Rabbi Yochanan was of such high spiritual standing, and he was offended. What happened to Reish Lakish? He fell ill. Asoy achse kabachya. His sister came, because they were related through marriage, and said, please pray for him. And the Gemara goes back and forth how Azva Yisomayach. So do it so that his sister said I shouldn't be an almana. It says, no, third line, Nach Nafshi Rib Shimon ben Lakish. Rish Lakish passes away. Okay. Now, what happens? What happens after the death of Rabbi Yochanan's Chavrusa, Rish Lakish, says the Gemara, V'haba komitztair, Rabbi Yochanan basrei tuva. Rabbi Yochanan was exceedingly pained after him. Amu Rabbanon, so the rabbi said, man lezel, fourth line, leis viladaite, who's going to go settle his mind? Who's going to go talk and learning with Rabbi Yochanan to calm him down, make him feel better? Says the Gemara, Nezel Reb Elazar ben Pedas de Machada din Shmaite. Let's bring Reb Elazar ben Pedas, who's very sharp in his learning. Azal Yosef Kamei. He sat in front of Reb Yochanan Kol Milsa Dahava Omer Reb Yochanan. Everything that Reb Yochanan said Omalei Tanya de Messiah Lach. What did he say?
He gave a
That's right. He gave a supporting argument from a rabbinic text. Reb Yochanan said, "This is the halacha." And Reb Elazar ben Pedas said, "Oh, yes, I have a brisa to support that." Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, finally, I can imagine they're sitting in the shir. He tapped him on the shoulder. He says, "Excuse me. What are you doing over here? At kvar ben lekisha. You're not Reish Lakish. Ki hava amina milsa hava makshili. Esrin v'arba kushyasa. I would say a memra, and he would ask me 24 questions. Uma farkina le esrin v'arba peruki umemela rav chashmaisa. I would give him 24 answers, and through that, the learning would grow. Through the questioning and the challenging, we would learn. Fahata amatai de mesailach, and you give me a pat on the back and say, oh, yeah, I have a proof. Ryuch says, what do I need that for? Otulo yadana de shabirko. I mean, it's a great line. Do I not know that I'm saying the right thing? You don't think I know that I'm saying good? I'm saying good. What are you doing? Have a ka'ozil v'karamani v'kabachi. He came and he would walk and tear his clothes and cry. V'amar hecha ad bar lakisha. He would walk around the base medrash tearing his shirt and wondering, where are you, Reish Lakish? Hecha ad bar lakisha. V'ava katsavach adeshavdai timinei bo rabbon rachme alei v'noch nafshei. He was so disturbed, he went out of his mind, and the Rabbanan beseeched God, and he died. Rabbi Yochanan said that Jewish learning, Torah learning, the Dvar Hashem, is not what we used to call in school spit back. It's not about memorizing, and it's not about bringing rayas. It's about asking questions. If I don't have anybody to talk about a question with, who's got the questions in my shir now? He goes out of his mind. Literally goes out of his mind. Then he dies. It's so powerful. Why is this? Why do we think it is that questioning is at the heart of Jewish learning, which is at the heart of what it means to be Jewish? Perhaps because it's what it means to be a Jew. There's an interesting comment of Rav Hirsch in source number 4. The Pasuk says, it's earlier in Shmos, but he's referencing the Pasuk about when the Jewish people were supposed to ask their Egyptian neighbors for items of value. You remember before they left Egypt, they had to ask them for things. He says, "V'yish alu ish me'es re'eu, hamashmos habrura." The clear understanding, he efo is what? Litvoa, levakesh. To demand, to seek, to request. U'bishum ponim lo lakachas b'hash'ola. Doesn't mean to borrow. Because a lot of people ask, how could Moshe Rabbeinu be commanded and come to the Jewish people and say to all of them, oh, go to your Jewish non-Jewish neighbors, your Goyish neighbors, the Egyptians, and ask them to borrow their cutlery. You're going to borrow their cutlery, you're never going to return it. So Hirsch says that the word she'ela does not mean to borrow. What does it mean? It means to request. It means to seek, to demand, to ask. Now I understand. Because what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants is for us to be a mevakesh, a seeker. That's what it means to be a Jew. A Jew is a seeker. So we're always asking. Because we're always seeking more knowledge and more knowledge, more hiskarvus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, more understanding, more spirituality. We never say, oh, I have enough. Even when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, isn't it interesting when the Pasuk tells us, you know where we're going to go to have a Makom HaMikdash, to meet God? You know where we're going to go? Where does the Pasuk say? It doesn't. It just says, Ki emel ha-makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokeichem mikol shivteichem lasum b'shemo sham, the place where God is going to choose that you should put yourself, to put his name there, where should you seek it at? Where should you go? L'shichno sidrashu ubas hashama. To his dwelling place, you should seek and you should go there. Meaning, God doesn't tell us the location, what we call Yerushalayim, or the Har Habayis or Hamori. He doesn't tell us where that is. Why? L'shichno sidrashu. You got to seek it out. I'm not going to put it on the plate for you. You have to be a seeker. So the Sifri, the Medrash there says, Ki em ala makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokim yichem mikol shivteichem, drosh al pinavi. The word tidrashu, you should seek, you should learn, you should darshan. That you need to get insight from a Navi. Yachol, I might think, tamten ad shiyom alecha Navi, maybe you should sit back and have the Navi tell you this is location for the Beis HaMikdash. This is exactly what the Gemara describes in Zvachim. Happened. David HaMelech says, I need to find a prophet. The prophet says, I'm not going to tell you right away. Rather, Tomaloma l'shichno sidrashu and then ubas hashama. First, you got to seek it out. Drosh umetso. Go try to find it. Figure it out. Va'achakach yom alecha Navi. Then the prophet will tell you. Because if you want to find God, if you want to know how to meet the Ribbono Shel Olam, don't expect he's just going to drop the address in your inbox. Yes, of course, there's a spiritual standard. You can't just make it up. You need to confirm with the Navi, but you need to seek it out. You want to meet God? You want to find the place where he rests? You have to seek. You have to be a mevakesh. We have to be seeking God. There's this beautiful ma'amar in a sefer called Shiurei Das, which is a collection of Musar teachings, mostly from the late Talzer Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Bloch. So his son, he had one son who survived the war and came to America and rebuilt Talzer Yeshiva, but the other son, Rabbi Avram Yitzchak Bloch, was killed in Lithuania during the war. So before the war, he put out kind of a manifesto on the theory of Telz. What is Telz all about? What is the Telz Yeshiva experience about? And what is at the heart of Telz? So in one of the sections, he says, Hasha'ela, the question, hi echad me'ikari ha'chachma. The idea of questioning, of inquiry, of searching. About 7 lines from the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Toward the end of the line. Hasha'ela hi be'emes yisod b'chol ha'Torah kula. The she'ela, the concept of a question, is a fundamental, or I should say, the fundamental yisod in all of Judaism. Ela hi nikba b'yichud b'mitzvah sipur yitzias Mitzrayim. Why was it put in Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim b'tor halacha ki kol halimudim v'hatoros hamusuros hamusarios hanitzrachos laklali haktoru mitzvoseh nikvola hen kol achas v'achas min ha-mitzvos kechelek min osa mitzvah. Because the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim includes all the other mitzvos. So says that tells the Rosh Yeshiva, Zichron Levracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, he says, you know why the Seder is all about She'ela, about questioning? Because the mitzvah of Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim is actually a microcosm of all mitzvos. Because the heart of all mitzvos, of all learning, of all of Judaism, is asking and seeking. That's why it's in the Seder. That's why that's the one night you're going to make sure everybody gets to the table. And if somebody doesn't know how to ask, you're going to open them up so that they learn how to ask. Rav Hirsch, in his Haggadah, this was put together by his descendant, Dr. Mordechai Breuer. It's called the Nachlas Hasar. He quotes from the teachings of Rav Hirsch at the beginning on the section of Manishtana. He talks about the importance of questions and how questioning and inquiry is central. And therefore, he says, Mishum kach al yikshe be'einecha im bincha shoelcha imhu shoel harbe v'shoel tekufos. Don't be disturbed. Don't be difficult. Don't let it be difficult for you if your son asks you, if he asks many questions, if he asks persistent questions. I'll tell ta'anelo b'ga'ara. Don't bark at him. Da'aglo, da'ag lahashivlo tshuva kahalacha. Tshuva kahalacha. Al tesalef be'ina v'samitzias toch zipuri badim v'havolim. Don't make up baba ma'isalach, as he used to say for him. Don't make up, say in Hebrew, sipurei safta. We love our saftas, babas, but they sometimes spin stories. Rav Hirsch says, don't spin stories. Not only that, one of the interesting things he says at the end of this paragraph, which you can take a look at later, is he says, guess what? You know what? It's okay to tell our kids, I don't know. If you don't know,
there'd be a lot of preparation.
What's that?
Good, because otherwise it'd be really a lot of preparation for the
state. that's exactly the point. Rav Hirsch is saying questioning is central to what we're about. So if a kid has a lot of questions, that's a good thing.
But you know, Rabbi Brand.
Yes.
You know, practically speaking, though.
Yes.
At a Seder.
Yes.
You know, you have to invite people who know your kids are going to ask questions.
Yes.
Otherwise, they sit there all night, look at their watch. No, I mean, I think you know, I mean, this is very, very, you know, it's wonderful, but I'm trying to be practical.
Oh, okay. Practical is another matter.
Is a what?
Is another matter.
Okay.
Meaning, there are lots of good strategies of how to be practical about this issue, but what we're really getting at is that it's not, you know, a lot of times we say, oh, it's for the children, it's for the children. But the Rambam told us it's not just for the children. We need to be searching. We need to be asking. We need to be seeking. So there are no children at the Seder. A person is at the Seder table alone. They need to be asking. They need to be searching because that's what we're about. And with this frame, we can understand the end of Sefer Bamidbar, the end of this week's Torah reading, which started already in last week's Torah reading of Parshas Pinchas, the story of the Benos Tzlofchad. You were probably wondering, why are we talking about this today? Well, this was all one gigantic hakdama to appreciate Benos Tzlofchad. Because what happens? And you also have it in the English. On the left side.
I'm glad you told me which side.
Finally, you're looking, you're like, wait a minute. I haven't seen a single stitch of English here. So, a group of women, who Chazal describe as Chachmanios, very wise. They are the daughters of Tzlofchad, from the family of Menashe. And their names were Machla, Noah, Chagla, Milcha, and Tirza. Look, you know, I think they probably knew each other. It wasn't such a big community. You know, you remember our father. He died in the desert. He didn't challenge God in the congregation of Korach. He died in his sin. He doesn't have any sons. Lama yigar Hashem avinu mitoch mishpachto? Why should our father's name be absent, be missing out from his family, because he doesn't have a son? Tana lanu achuza b'sochachei avinu. Give us a portion among the brothers of our father. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Vayakrev Moshe es mishpatan lefnei Hashem. Moshe brings their inquiry before Hashem. What does Moshe Rabbeinu not do? He doesn't toss them out. He doesn't silence them. He doesn't say, "Who are you to ask?" He says, "Let's ask."
Good question. He goes to get the answer.
He says, "I don't know the answer. I'm going to ask." If you are in a context in which questioning is bad, is dangerous, is evil, then these people are big-time troublemakers. We should throw them out! But if you're in a context in which questioning and searching and inquiring and asking is celebrated, then we're going to actually give you, Chazal emphasized, we're going to give you a portion in the Torah. We're going to put it with your name on it. There are probably thousands and thousands of Shilas and Dinei Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu got. There must be. None of them are recorded except for this one. And it's recorded twice. They're asking. I heard an interesting observation on the radio recently. Somebody in a foreign country was talking about a populist demagogue. And he was saying how this particular person was anti-intellectuals, because he was observing that populist despots, sometimes those two go together, these kind of demagogues, they're very opposed to higher learning. Why?
Because they question everything.
That's right. Because they're looking for power, and that power is going to be, it's going to be propelled by ignorance and control. In Yadus, we say, as you say in Yiddish, punkt verkehrt. We want people to ask. We want people to challenge. It's a great quote. It appears all over the place. There was this boy who grew up in Galicia, in Rimnev. His parents come to America. He's educated. He's a brilliant kid. He becomes known as Isidore Rabi, the Nobel-winning physicist who was one of the, in 1944, he won the Nobel Prize for what we call today MRI technology, for figuring out magnetic resonance. Brilliant man. So he says, "You know how I became a scientist? From my mother. Every other child would come back from school and be asked, 'What did you learn today?' But my mother used to ask, 'Izzy, did you ask a good question today?'" His mother was a Jewish mother. She's asking questions, because that's what is at the heart of Yiddishkeit. And the interesting thing is that this idea of asking questions extends very far. Even asking of the Ribono Shel Olam. Look who does it. Says the Pasuk, Chalila lecha me'asos kadavar hazeh. God forbid you should do such a thing. Laham is tzaddik in Russia. God, you should kill a tzaddik with a Russia. V'hoyach a tzaddik a Russia. Chalila lecha. Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat? Question mark. Who's asking that question?
It's Avram by Sodom.
That's right. Avram Avinu says to the Ribono Shel Olam, "Is this just? Well, who are you?" We have plenty of piyutim in the Rosh Hashanah davening that tell us the difference between human beings and God. Plenty. Avram asks. Moshe Rabbeinu asks. Chavakuk asks. A person's even allowed to ask of God. This is expanded in a teaching of the Halakha of Nachman of Breslov here in Likutei Maran, in number 11 in Tinyana. Ubeinyan akushos shakosh al Hashem Yisbarach, margalo befume lomar adraba. Kein roi lios davka. Sheyiyu kushios al Hashem Yisbarach. It's a fitting that there should be questions on God. V'chach noe v'yafa lo Yisbarach lafi gduloso v'romamuso. It's fitting for the Rabbona Shalom because of his exaltedness. Ki me'otzim gdulosav ramamuso shu meruma me'od midatino al kein bavada yef shor shenovin v'nasing b'sichlenu hanagosu yizbarach. Ve'al kein be'echrech shu olav yizbarach kushios ki kach noe ve'yofel la'aborei yizbarach. Shia meruma v'nisim midatino shal yidei zeh kosha kushios kanal. Vim hoya anagos kvichiv datinu im ken hoya chas v'shon datinu kedatinu kedato kedatinu. He says not only that, it's hardwired. It's by definition we're going to have kashas, questions on God, because God is beyond our comprehension. If God was comprehensible, then we would be God. Obviously, God is above, and we're asking questions. Why are we asking questions? Because ubikashtem misham. We don't say, oh, God is so far removed, so let's go play golf. We say no. We know on the one hand that God is removed, but on the other hand, you know what we're going to do? We're going to levakesh. We're going to ask. It's what Rav Hirsch said. We're going to be shoel. We're constantly asking of Hashem Yisbarach, what can we do to connect with you? What are the messages you're sending us? What do you expect of us? We're asking him, we're asking us. We're constantly seeking God. Because by definition, God needs to be sought. He's not just, on the one hand, he's very close to us, but he's beyond us. So we need to ask questions. So the extent of our questions is really quite remarkable. And on the other hand, there are limits. I'll give you two examples of limits that we can consider. The Gemara has a Shaila in Bava Basra, and Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis, Boy Rab Yirmiya, Raglo Achas Besoch Nun Ama, V'Raglo Achas Chutz Mechamishim Ama Mahu. The Gemara there is discussing the status of a bird. How do you know who is the owner of a particular bird? You have a chicken coop, or you have a dove coop. Chicken coop is easier because the chickens don't fly. But you have a dove coop, and the Gemara talks about if you have a range where we assume the birds that are in that particular area are. So the Gemara gives you a limit of 50 amas. So Rabbi Yirmi has a kasha. He says, what if you have 1 foot of the bird on this side of 50 amas, and the other side of the bird on the other side of the 50 amas? What's the din in that case? Now, usually, the Gemara does ask outlandish questions that push the borderline, so that once we understand the borders, the parameters of an issue, we understand the heart of the issue. Says the Gemara, Va'alda, on this, afku the Rebbe Yirmiya mi bei midrasha. They threw Rebbe Yirmiya out of the Beis Medrash. They threw him out. Says Rashi on the left side, Shahaya matriach aleihem, that he was a burden to them. Far be it, I'm not the one to say it, the Gemara says it, but this is what we would call today, probably, a nudnik. We gave you a parameter. We told you it's 50 amas. 1 foot on one side of 50 amas, 1 foot on the other. Hakmer nishkin chaynik, all right? Stop bothering me. So they tossed him out. He comes back later, don't worry. But this is an example, apparently, of a question that's just, there's a limit. What is the Gemara trying to get at? The Gemara is trying to get at a certain point, there is a shear, there is a measure. And that's what it is. It has a foot in, it has a foot out. Hakmanishkin chaynik. The measure is 50. Now, it's interesting because a lot of times, many people, especially those who are uninitiated in Gemara, will think that a lot of the questions in the Gemara are splitting hairs a lot of the time, which is true. But apparently, there's some limit that at a certain point, you just have to understand that there is a system, and that system has a framework. And there's a similar observation in the Gemara about a mikvah, that when it comes to a shear, if you have 40 saw of water, it's a kosher mikvah. If you have 39.997 saw in a mikvah, it's not kosher. Is it such a big deal? The answer is that's the shear, that's the measure. So don't start with 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Either you have the measure or you don't have the measure. So those are one group of questions that are, they're not good questions, they're nudnik questions. But then there's another one, which is very important. Let's go back for a second to look very carefully at the Benos Slavchad appeal. The daughters of Slavchad come, and they say, our father died, please give us a portion so that we can inherit. Because originally, the only discussion was regarding male inheritors in the presence of female inheritors. It was not evident what the din would be if there were, excuse me, only daughters and no sons. So if you were the Benos Slavchad, you would come and say, look, our father died. We want to be a part of the inheritance. We want our father to have our family name continue. Please. So can I ask you, why would they come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, remember, our father was Slavchad, and he died in the desert from his sin, and he wasn't part of the Korach rebellion. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, they might think he wouldn't deserve it if he was.
Why not? Just because he was part of the Korach rebellion, that should affect his inheritance?
Because the Korach rebellion, they were obliterated from the earth. There's no, nothing left.
With their belongings. So the,
but they're here. Maybe. Could be. I think many of the Mefarshim have a different approach because they're bothered by this question. Right? That's a very odd thing to say. Why is that the important fact? He wasn't part of the Korach rebellion. So many Mefarshim say something along the lines of, they had an interest in putting this fact out there, either because they thought this would help their case, but specifically because who was the man that Korach was challenging primarily?
Moshe.
So some argue that this was actually an old school under the table, you know, one of those wink-wink deals. So some suggest, some of Farshim say, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu recused himself. Because he says, look, I can't answer this question because you've just given me, you just gave me the money under the table. It's interesting. You know, they're trying to say, you know, we're on your side, Moshe. He was a good guy. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I don't want to have any of that. I don't want to be part of that. This is a question of law. It's not about whether you're my friend or you're not my friend or you were against me or for me. Nothing to do with that. That was a very interesting pshat. The Nachshoni quotes several Achronim, as a Mefarshim would quote. That's very interesting. But maybe there's another point.
Go ahead.
Because we're close on time. What is the difference between Korach and his claim and the Benos Slavchad and their claim?
It's the nature of the question.
Yes. So Korach, what does the Torah describe? He leads this rabble, and they say, "Vayikalu al Moshe ve'al Aaron vayomra aleim." Source 13, "Rav lachem ki chol oedo kulam kedoshim uvsocham Hashem umadua tisnasu al kahal Hashem." What is Korach's question? Why then do you raise yourselves above the Lord's suggestion? Is Korach asking a question, or is he making a demand? More than that, is he posing a challenge? Is he even asking a question at all? No, he's not. It's a rhetorical question. He's not looking for an answer. He's actually making a statement in the form of a question. Say the Benos Slavchad, look, we have a question. We have a challenge. We have a challenge, and it's personal, and we feel passionately about it. But we're not like Korach. Korach had an agenda that was preconceived, and he didn't even have a question. You notice that the word that Korach uses is madua tisnasu, why? They use the word lama nigara. First word, and this the Lama Nigara, this appears also in the context of the people who originally were going to be deprived of the Korban Pesach, and they sought some kind of remedy, and they got Pesach Sheni, the same language. They say, we want more. We want to be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but more so, they use the word lama, lama, for what? Explain to us what we're supposed to do with this situation. Korach says, madua, give me a rationale. I demand an explanation. I'm not looking for an answer. I'm looking to make a point. And this is the second key criterion when we think about Jewish questions. We are all about questions. We celebrate challenge. Moshe Rabbeinu invites challenge, but he invites it and we invite it in a context where we accept what Yadus is. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Nosin HaTorah tapped by the Ribbono Shel Olam. We accept as the Adon HaNevi'im. We accept there is a Masorah. There is the contours of the Halacha. Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik has in an essay, in a letter, where he delineates what does it mean to be an Orthodox Jew? What is Orthodox Judaism? And he says that as part of that discussion, Orthodox Judaism means a fealty to a methodology of learning time-honored throughout the tradition. So if somebody comes today and says, what does the halacha say? How does the halacha address my specific need and my situation? I'm looking to understand. Lama nigara. So then we welcome them. We embrace them. We celebrate that kind of question, that kind of challenge. We celebrate it and we welcome it if that challenge comes from a place of searching, of looking within a tradition, within that Orthodox Judaism. But if somebody says, I'm not prepared to accept the fundamental principles of what the community is about, I'm going to challenge the role of Moshe Rabbeinu, then that's not the kind of question we're looking to foster. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu listens to them very clearly, and he celebrates their question. He says, we're going to write a parsha on the Torah about you, and we're going to bring it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because at the end of the day, of course, Yiddishkeit is all about learning, it's all about asking, it's all about seeking. We need to find ways, no matter whether we're children or adults, to make sure that we spend our lives asking. But we also need to make sure that the questions that we ask in that context are questions that are in line with seeking and that are true mivakesh, not ones that come with a predetermined answer and that are just driving an agenda. And I think perhaps that is one important takeaway from this story. The story of the Bnei Slavchad, the value of their questions and their contrast that they put in their own words with the Adas Korach. More food for thought.